Welcome to Passion and Purpose, a podcast with Jimmy Seibert and the Antioch Movement. Whether this is your first time with us or you've been with us for a while now, our desire is that by the end of our time together, you can say that you've fallen more in love with Jesus and have a greater passion for Him and His purposes in the earth. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope that you enjoy today's episode.
All right. Well, hey, Passion and Purpose crew, we're excited to be back with you. We got Jimmy back from traveling the nations, and we're going to talk with you guys today on the topic of prayer and fasting, because here at Antioch Waco, we're getting ready to take some time to pray and fast. Tell us a little bit about that, Jimmy.
Yeah, you know, we have essentially started the church for 24 years. Laura and I were college pastors for 12 years basically before that. So all of our ministry life, at least twice a year, we've asked the community that we were leading, hey, let's take 3 days together, not just individually, but corporately, and let's fast and pray. And, you know, we just became convinced early on, if God's power isn't in the midst of our community, we're not a God-centered community. And to do that, we've got to dethrone self consistently and gather around the throne room. And fasting is one of those ways we do that.
It is.
Sad but true.
Yeah. Well, whether you have never fasted before or you are a seasoned veteran of prayer and fasting, today is for you. And we want to share some motivations or why do we fast today to stir people's desire for fasting. But we also want to invite you to enter into and put this into practice. Really, the power is going to be in doing what we're talking about today, not just talking about it. So, Jimmy, with that, let's talk about what are some of the reasons that we see in the Bible that we should pray and fast.
Yeah, you know, I think that there's so many more than you would actually think, but the question is always, you know, hey, do I have to fast? And like every spiritual discipline, you don't have to be saved, to be loved by God, to walk with God, but God uses different spiritual disciplines like keys. So if I have a key to a door, but I never use it, then I never walk through that door. And fasting is one of those keys that I have. So the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, hey, why aren't your disciples fasting like we are? And Jesus said, well, don't worry. When I leave, they will fast. Then they will fast. So the implication there is that when the bridegroom is gone, we fast because we miss him. There was this one guy one time that Jamie Miller and I met, and he's talking about why he fasts, and he talked about this idea of, well, Jesus is no longer with us, and he said, then you'll fast, and you're longing for more of me, for my presence, for my nearness, for closeness to Jesus. And the guy was talking to us, and we were sitting down for a meal, and he just pushed his food aside, and he said, to me, fasting is that space where I hunger for him more than I do my food. And he just began to cry, and he began to say, and it's one of those days I just need him. So we could talk about we are going to talk about the power of it, but in the end, I set aside food because my need for God is greater than my need for physical sustenance, even, because my spirit man is what allows me to be satisfied. So that's a big one. So number one is we fast because Jesus is not present and we're longing for his presence. So there would be number one, right? Another one is obviously we fast and pray for breakthrough in our lives. Isaiah 58 talks about, is this the fast I choose to undo the bands of the yoke and undo wickedness? Don't fast just for your own good, but fast for the bondages to be broken in your life and in other people's lives, because some things only come out, as Matthew 17 says, but by prayer and fasting. So it's to undo wickedness in our hearts. For probably 20 years, I would fast every Tuesday. That was my fast day. And somebody said, why do you do it every week, even though there were times I do longer fasts and extended fasts? I said, well, I need to kind of throw a wrench in my flesh every week to make sure that my consecration to Jesus is pure. Like the bonds of wickedness just seem to attach themselves. It's like road dirt. And when we fast, we kind of throw off the chains. And of course, that can be big addictions or down to just, hey, I just am becoming too fleshly right now and I need the Spirit of God. I remember one day I was fasting and Laura and I were driving down the road. I was going to speak somewhere and she said something that kind of triggered a little flesh response from me, which I, that's all my responsibility, not hers. And I'm sitting there kind of going, yakking back at her, like, yak, you know, responding back in the flesh. And I had like an out-of-body experience. It was like I'm watching myself just respond in the flesh. And I realized, well, that's why I'm fasting, to separate myself from that natural response so that I can have a supernatural response. In that situation, I got it to see it superimposed because I was fasting, and I realized, okay, that's ridiculous. Get rid of the flesh. Let's walk in the Spirit. So undo the bands of wickedness, undo the bands of our flesh. It is very normal to fast and pray in decision-making. I want to hear the Spirit of God. I could actually just do a whole podcast on decision-making, but what I... there's a old preacher named Charles Stanley. I think he's just went to be with the Lord, actually. And he did this series on fasting and praying. I heard it when I was in my early 20s. And he said, when people come to me and they say, Dr. Stanley, I want to know God's will for my life, what do I do? And he said, I tell every one of them, go off, fast and pray for 3 days. And, you know, with no food, just water or juice. Fast and pray for 3 days, read the Bible for an hour a day and pray and ask God to speak to you and journal what you get. And he said, if you don't get your answer, come back and talk to me and then we'll sort it out from there. And he said, you know, the amazing thing is I only have one person in all my, you know, 50 years of ministry come back. That means one of two things. Either they got their answer or they weren't willing to fast and pray. We all want to be confident in our decision-making that it's of the Lord or God's leading, God's directing. But again, my encouragement, if you're not willing to fast and pray, separate yourself from your own ambitions, your own desires, living your own way. Isaiah 58 talks about that. Hey, desist from your own way, open your heart up to God's way, and then let Him speak and lead and direct you. So decision-making, we fast and pray for decision-making. You want me to keep going?
Sure, keep going. We're excited.
Okay, all right.
You're getting inspired up?
Yeah. So here's one, to release power in our lives. Okay? So here's some common scriptures. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You should be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus said, you'll do greater works than I did. Okay? So we all think those are really cool scriptures, but we all find ourselves woefully short. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I feel like, man, Jesus promised so much, and I do pray for the sick, and I see people touched every once in a while, but not as consistently as I'd like. And I'm finding that fasting and prayer creates an authority in the spirit realm that allows you to have power to release over others when you pray for them. This became so acute years ago. We were about to head overseas. This was in the early 1990s, and we were going to go into Bulgaria, Romania, Hungary, into these places that at that time were just opening up to Westerners. And so we felt like the Lord said, I want you to fast and pray for 3 days. And I have fasted a lot longer than that, but that 3-day prayer and fast was so difficult. And everybody was struggling. I think maybe everybody wasn't telling me the truth. I don't think everybody really fasted, but a few of us did. So we had our little team prayer meeting at the end of the 3 days. And man, we were fasting and we were praying and we kind of were grinding it out. And man, I got up the next morning and ate my meal for the first time in 3 days and just thought, man, that was so difficult. I hope this trip's not that difficult. So we go on this trip, and it's this wildest trip of a lifetime. I've told stories about it in the past. But we land in the first city, and we start preaching the gospel on the streets. And it is not an exaggeration to say hundreds of people came to Jesus. We saw tumors disappear from people's bodies. We saw ears open. We saw the blind seeing, literally withered hands being made straight. I mean, the New Testament was coming alive in incredible ways. And I'm just weeping one night as we're praying over people at the goodness of God. And the Holy Spirit whispered to me, remember that fast. Remember that fast. That's why you needed to do it, because this is what you're experiencing. Now, again, we can get the all kind of circular about sovereignty and our response and all that stuff. But the scripture, we are partners with God. Right. And so it does matter that we respond to God when he's leading us to do something, even if it's, especially if it's death to self.
Yeah.
Because when we die to ourselves, then the grace of God appears, yeah. right? And so fasting is one of those ways that instead of a trial coming on us, we self-impose, mm-hmm. we lean in to crucify our flesh so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies.
Yeah.
Big deal, big deal. So another one, so we have decision-making, power, intimacy with Jesus. Another one is when we're praying for repentance of sin, like breakthroughs to happen, it could be personal or it could be corporate. So here's probably the most quoted, least exercised verse in the Bible when it comes to repentance and fasting. 2 Chronicles 7:14, very well known if you're a believer for a while. It says, if my people, I want to get the exact here, and it says this, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll turn from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So that word humble often is equated with fasting. In this particular version, that's what it means, to humble ourselves with fasting before God. So if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves in fasting, will repent of their sins, turn from their wicked ways, and return to the Lord, then I will heal their land. I will forgive their sins and everything, and I'll make the wrong things right. So that scripture is an if-then scripture. If you will humble yourself and fast, then I will hear. If you will humble yourself and turn from your wicked ways, then I will heal your land. And our land could be the land of our hearts, the land of our family, our church, our city. It's God's desire to pour out grace throughout the earth, but his subjects, you and I, need to be willing to humble ourselves and set self-interest aside in order for the power of God to move. So that can even be a national deal. And throughout history, America has been called, Abraham Lincoln in the middle of the Civil War called us to fasting and prayer. England, when they were at war with France, they called a day of fasting and prayer. And there was the incredible journal entries of as nations would fast and pray, things would turn or something would happen when they were collectively in agreement that, man, we're in trouble. We need help. We're pulling out every key we've got. And fasting is central to that when we're looking for breakthroughs in a bigger way.
Okay, so what I hear you saying is we are fasting. Some of the motivations are for personal breakthroughs, which I imagine everyone listening to this podcast has some sort of personal breakthrough they need or breakthrough with a friend. We're fasting for decision-making.
Yeah.
God, what, you know, big decisions that we need to make? What would you want to speak to us about these things? We're fasting for a release of power from the Holy Spirit in and through us as we minister to others. We're fasting not just for our own personal world, but corporately and collectively for the fate of nations.
Yeah.
And we're fasting because it creates an awareness of our hunger for Jesus and intimacy with him. Or some of the motivations why we're going into this time of fasting or why we embrace fasting as a lifestyle as a community.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think if you're tracking with us, just hang with us till we get to the end of the podcast, because again, my greatest motivation is that I need God more than I know I need God. And by committing to fasting, I come to the other side of it and I realize, wow, what if I would not have fasted? You know, I remember I went on a really long fast one time. And right at the end of this very, very long fast, many, many days, I had a friend had a psychotic break. I had to fly overseas, pick them up, carry them home, helped them get established and helped them find a miracle from God. But if I wouldn't have been fasting, I don't think I could have managed that intense of a crisis with the grace of God. And so I often find out that God pre-prepares things for us. If we'll take the invitation, he'll give us the ability to then have the strength that we need for the challenges that are ahead. And I would just say, man, to everybody right now, man, what all's going on around our world, what's going on in our personal lives, from the anxieties of our heart to the big issues of our day, God needs his people to be standing in the grace of God, sharp, clear, free, full of the Holy Spirit. And to do that, fasting is going to need to be normative again in our lives.
Mm. That is powerful to think about. I think my personal experience with fasting, I remember as a college student getting involved with Antioch, hearing about people fasting leading up to our spring break mission trip.
Yeah.
Looking at it in the Bible, I had literally never heard of anyone doing this. That was my foray into fasting for a day or several days or long periods of time. And I've been on many fasts since then as a part of this community. And some of them have been glorious. Some of them have been breakthrough. And some of them you get through and you're like, I don't know that that did anything other than, you know, made me hungry. But when I look back over the last 20 years with the different things that you're talking about and motivations, intimacy with Jesus, personal breakthrough, decision-making, power, corporate, you know, breakthrough, I can see so many of those things unlocked in my own life or in the lives of people that I've been in ministry with, all those things through this power of prayer and fasting. And I think every time we come up to one of these three-day windows as a church, there's always the, oh, I don't know right now, you know.
There's a lot going on right
now. There's all the excuses, you know, that can go through our mind. And sometimes those are valid, but I think this is a great opportunity with whatever's going on to say, I want to enter in, not just an individual, but with my family. This isn't something that we're just doing as individuals, but this is as a community, the elders of the church are saying, guys, we need to pray and to fast. And when I hear that, it fights the, challenges the individualism in me that I just do my own thing, but it's like, no, I'm a part of something bigger than myself. I'm part of a community. I'm part of a family. And this is what my family is doing. And so I want to figure out ways to enter in, not to opt out.
Yeah.
What would you say then?
Yeah. Well, again, we're always better together, man. Mm-hmm. And so anytime I've embarked on a longer fast, I've always said, hey, could somebody join me? Just because there's strength doing it together. It says, if three agree on anything in my name is done by my Father's in heaven. So my encouragement is get your life group people together, get friends, get inside of your family and just say, hey, can I at least get two or three people to agree with me? Mm-hmm. And what we always say is decide ahead of time how long you're going to fast and what the parameters of that's going to be. Is it water only? Is it juice? Is it anything I can put in a blender? is it fruits and vegetables? You know, clarify what it is because in the middle of the day is not when you decide whether you're breaking your fast or not. So when I tell you, hey, Zach, I'm doing a water fast, you know, for the next 24 hours and I see you and I'm driving by Dairy Queen, I'm remind myself, okay, I said I was going to do that. Give me a little text in the middle of the day and remind me when I get a little weaker. And then what happens is also then we can get together and pray together and we can support one another. We can laugh together about our goofiness. So the first time I ever fasted, I had read it in a book in college. And so my roommates and I said, we're going to fast for a day. And I had never in my life, not only not heard of it, but didn't know any Christians that had fasted. And so we basically went from midnight to midnight. So we ate everything under the sun till midnight before. Then we go to class all day, and then we were going to get together and pray at like 10 o'clock at night and break our fast at midnight again, right?
Yeah.
Literally 24 hours. And we all fell asleep at 10 o'clock. Then we all sat there. Somebody prayed, and then everybody was out. And then somebody woke up like about 11:58 or something. Yeah. We're like, hey, man, Let me do it. It's time to eat. So we had had in our minds that we were going to go. There's this, at that time, the pizza place was open till 2 a.m.
Okay.
So we go over there and we just scarf it down.
Sure.
I mean, like we had, 24 hours. This is embarrassing today. But hey, it was new for all of us.
Yeah. Yep.
So we walk out and one of my guys says, just ran right through him, diarrhea in his pants there out in front of the pizza parlor.
Getting real on the podcast
today.
That
was it. That was right. A little diarrhea. So that was my first experience.
Okay.
And I wouldn't say I felt breakthrough.
Yeah. Yep.
But I will say this, on a more serious note, to go from diarrhea to junior high to, to powerful, that started me fasting consistently. Mm-hmm. And Laura and I have been very open about our own story. She struggled with anorexia in college. And God spoke to me to fast for 3 days for her. And I thought, man, I don't, 3 days, I don't know what I can, I don't know how to do that. But in the middle of that fast, God spoke to me that not only was she going to get a breakthrough, but that she would be my wife. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning of the end of the anorexia in her life and the beginning of our future of our life.
Wow.
And so even though we start off pretty weak at the pizza parlor, mm-hmm. I found grace that I didn't know I needed or would need that literally would shape the trajectory of our lives.
Wow. That's a great story to motivate us.
Yes.
Jump in. We never know what God's going to do.
Never know what God's going to do.
Prayer and fasting. So any last words as we wrap up?
Yeah, well, just a few practicals.
Okay.
All right.
Give me some practicals. So don't end with pizza.
Don't end with pizza.
Right?
Yeah, okay. Don't end with pizza.
Okay.
But just a couple practicals. Clarify from the front end, hey, this is what I feel like God wants me to do, or this is what the community's doing, and I'm joining in. If you don't know what to do, just join the community, mm-hmm. right? Like you said. And we'll post in the notes very practicals, but I just want to say drink a lot of liquids, whether it's water or whether it's juice, that kind of deal. Decide ahead of time what kind of fast you're doing. If you're taking medications and all the precaution, if you're pregnant, all that stuff, take that not only into consideration, but do what is medically appropriate. Make sure that you're covered and take care of yourself. If you're not able to fully fast from food, which actually we just talked about the Bible definition of fasting is to abstain from food, by the
right.
way, not just your favorite snack, but clarify what are you abstaining from and then agree with each other about how to do that. And then when are we going to break our fast? Are we going to break it the day of? Are we going to break it after we celebrate? Are we going to break it before? Just kind of line it out because, again, in the middle of fasting, the decision-making gets a little blurry, right?
To say the least.
Yeah, to say the least. And in the notes, we just give you practicals to how to do this healthily, how to do this well, how to do it biblically. And I'm believing God that we are going to see breakthroughs.
Come on.
For everybody listened here
Come
today.
On. There we go.
Pray for us, Seth.
All right.
Come on.
Well, Jesus, I pray, Lord, that as we hear about this invitation to pray and fast, that we really would enter in to the things that you're leading us into, that we as a community would be people who walk in a lifestyle of prayer and fasting, and that it would bear fruit in our lives, that it would bear the fruit of greater intimacy with you.
Yeah.
That it would give our friends, myself, everyone listening, wisdom for decisions, Lord. It would lead to breakthrough in our lives, greater power of the Spirit working through us, Lord. And with as many conflicts and chaos going on in our nation and in the nations, Lord, that you would move through the prayers and the fasting of your people, Lord, to bring your kingdom breakthroughs in ways that we couldn't even comprehend now. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Passion and Purpose, a podcast with Jimmy Seibert and the Antioch Movement. For more information, please visit jimmyseibert.com and antioch.org. We'll see you next time.